Thank you so much. And as I was thinking about calling yesterday, I began to think about how this calling is so far above my capacity, my ability, and probably any of us, to really proclaim the love of Christ with this human tongue. In this human tongue, there's no way we can give it the justice. There's no way we can give it the essence of what it really is. This thing that we call a calling, and we try to articulate, and we try to share and proclaim the love of Christ. The human tongue is just not even capable of doing it to the degree that it is. But I pray today that the Holy Spirit will help us to understand what it is He wants us to get, what He wants to be shared today. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, my husband almost started to preach this thing, and I was just about to give him the microphone. And I thought again, well, it's his birthday, so we'll give him a break here. But he talked about, he mentioned actually our theme, which is the year of godly influence. If you were like me, and being honest, each year when we get these themes, you guys know that this theme goes much further than what meets the eye. And it usually turns out to be something just much different than what we thought when we heard it. You know, the year of revelation, the year of God's presence, the year of just a whole lot of things. But this year is the year of godly influence. And you know, on New Year's Eve, when we hear the theme spelled out, you know, yelled out, and we get all excited, yay! The drums are, you know, going. And I said, the year of godly influence. And then the second thought was, whoo, that's so broad. That's so broad. So Pastor began to share some things about godly influence, and you said something just a while ago, and this is the direction the Lord has taken me. You said, it's not just influence, it's godly influence. And many times when we think of influence, we think about how our lives will affect someone else's, the impact that we make on someone else's life. But there is something. Oh, and I pray that I can really articulate what I believe God gave me. With that, let me pray for real. Father, just thank you, Lord, for just this opportunity to share your word with these, your people. And Lord, I pray that what you desire to happen here this morning, what you desire to share through me, Lord, that it will come forth with clarity, with understanding, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to not be moved by any exterior forces, any exterior anything, whether it be faces or gestures or behaviors that seem to be in agreement, certainly not those that would even appear to be contrary. But Lord, I pray that you would just, by your Spirit, help me to bring forth what I believe you've placed in my heart. I thank you for this opportunity. I rely upon you, Holy Spirit, to do this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You guys know that I like to look up words. And whenever I get an opportunity to share, I begin to kind of dig a little deeper than I would have otherwise. But don't worry. I didn't do a bunch of them this time. I only did a few. One or two. Actually, one. But I've got a couple of definitions that I think will bless you the way it blessed me. And by the way, I have a title this time. Generally, I don't do the title to the end because I go, you know, I'm shotgunning. I go into a lot of different directions. I'm thinking I'm going to be on this subject. And by the time the Holy Spirit finishes, it's something else. Sister Kathy, praising the Lord back there. The power of godly influence. The power of godly influence. I want to first of all define influence. And you heard it recently. Somebody gave us a definition, probably Pastor. I believe it was in one of the gatherings that we have here in the evenings. And it is the capacity or power to have an effect on the beliefs, opinions, character, development, or behavior of someone or something. I'll say that again. Influence, the capacity or power to have an effect on the beliefs, opinions, character, development, or behavior of someone or something, or is the effect itself. Influence works in two ways. It affects our lives and then the influence that we have on others, but both is a privilege and it's a responsibility. Whether we realize it or not, we're constantly influencing and being influenced. There are certain occasions or certain stages in our lives where influence is more susceptible. And let's say in childhood, as children, early childhood is a very susceptible time of being influenced. Teenage years, a very susceptible time of being influenced. And influence can go either positive or negative. Certainly we want ours to be positive. Dr. Earl Johnson was here last Sunday and he talked about, you guys remember the story, he talked about his grandmother. The cursing grandmother. No, I'm sorry, cussing. The cussing grandmother. And she sounded like she was a character. He said this grandmom could come up with some cuss words. Now, she went to church. She was, you know, what I guess people thought was a God-fearing woman, but she had a foul mouth. So Dr. Earl, as a young one, picked up on those traits. And he said he was going to have a class teaching people how to cuss. And grandmama got to cussing at him and fussing at him because he was doing this. So she had a very bad negative influence on him. And there are different things that affect, that influence our lives. Certainly our culture, our friends, our relatives, things that we see on TV, the environment. These things have an influence on us. Sometimes we don't recognize it. But again, as I said, there's a positive and then there's a negative. Influence focuses on the heart and it changes people from within. It sways our thoughts, our perceptions, and our values. And as a result, it has the power to change our behavior. We define our values by either the world, or we become a law unto ourselves and we define our values by ourselves, what we think, what we believe. Or we can let the word of God define our values. Pastor Greg did a very good teaching not long ago about how our beliefs affect the things that we value, our values, and our values affect our behavior. Did I say that right? Did I do that right? Values affect our beliefs, and our beliefs affect our behavior. I need you to come up here and just teach that for a few minutes. But it was a really, really good teaching about how these things work hand in hand, or one affects the other. So even, as I was saying earlier, even when we're not even trying, we model our values every day. Brother Malik, in his book, he talked about the father and the son relationship. You know, we hear the phrase, like father, like son. It's not just a cliche. It's real. It's really, really real. And statistics and experience show us how we influence, the kind of influence parents have on their children, because the children will follow, many times, most of the times, they will follow our lifestyle. They will follow the lifestyles of their parents, whether they're good or bad, even their successes and their failures. Most of what we are exposed to, what we're mostly exposed to, are the things that will influence us the most. And again, that could be social media, media, friends. You have to be careful as to who you choose as your friends and your associates, because they will either bring the best out of you or the worst out of you. How many of you have seen people that, I mean, they're good role models, and when you're in their presence, it seems that the entire atmosphere changes for the good. Have you ever been in the presence of people like that? We have, we had a mom and a pop, spiritual mom and pop, Elliot and Geraldine Mason out of Los Angeles, California. Whoo, these two so exuded the love of God, the compassion of God, love for God's people, that when you were in their presence, if you had any malice in your heart, if you had things that just need, the whole atmosphere would change. Our children said, ooh, when we're around Mom and Pop Mason, it's just like, if we were mad at each other, we wouldn't be mad anymore. Or if we were going to fight it, we wouldn't. The influence, the beautiful thing about it is, it didn't seem like they were just trying to behave a certain way because company was around. But their lifestyle, the Spirit of God was so in them that it was like second nature, or maybe I should say first nature. It just exuded from them. And we love being in their presence or in their company. My husband and I, as we were at Pop Mason's home going, and we thought we were his favorite children. We thought we were, whenever we called, he would answer the phone. He helped us through some little challenges and situations. He straightened my husband out when he wouldn't act right with me. When he was being mean to me, Pop Mason straightened him out. I'm just kidding. But he would, they would just do it in such, it had to be the Holy Spirit. I promise you, it just seemed like it was so effortless. It was just who they are. And how did they get to be this way? By being in the presence of God, walking in the things of God, loving the Lord, desiring more to please Him than anything else. They kept their eyes on the larger picture, and that's what is required of us. We're talking about influence. That's what is required of us. When my husband said something recently, he said, when we see more of the Lord, we become more like Him. And that seeing more of Him isn't just kind of scathing the scripture. It isn't having like some little weird thing, but it's a kind of revelation that the Lord makes known to us of Himself. We come to understand and know Him better as we study the word of God as we walk out what we do know. And I believe he says, and even as we obey, he will show us more of himself. As a result, our hearts are changed. And we want to please him. We want to please him. So then that influence that he has placed in us by way of the Holy Spirit is the thing that will touch the lives of others and hopefully cause them to want to change and be like you. The scripture says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. There were, this couple in my life God used before he sent me my Windows of Heaven blessing right here. And that was Dave and Clarice Scott. Dave was a Falcon player. He used to play with the Falcons. And he and his wife, God is so good. Okay. He and his wife, before I came to know the Lord, began to let their light shine. God used them in my life where they didn't have to do a whole lot of, quote, as we call, witnessing. They lived this thing out and they walked it out before me that it caused me to desire what I saw in them. They picked me up. They would pick me up from where I was living at the time. And again, as I said, this was before Christ. But they were wise enough to pull me from that environment and take me to their home to share the word of God with me. And God began to use other people. Then he brought my husband to share some things with me about being filled with the Holy Spirit. So it was just God placing people in strategic places to bring me to where I am now. There's the power of influence, godly influence. So, there's a quote that we use. It was something that my husband mentioned some years ago, and it just so stuck with me and hit me hard. And that is, preach at all times, but if necessary, use words. And I think that was a quote from St. Francis of, of Assisi. Oh, y'all trying to sound smart out there. St. Francis of Assisi. Amen. But that was powerful. Preach at all times, but if necessary, use words. So what is that saying to us? It's not about just, again, what we call witnessing many times is this verbal thing. You know, we may go out to the malls or we may go to our next door neighbor and we have this little structured witnessing thing that we do and it's all laid out, A, B, C, D. Do you know the Lord? Would you like to know him? Jesus died for your sins. If you want to be saved, repeat after me. If we read the Bible, there's a whole, I didn't see it in there like that. I mean, God can use that. Don't get me wrong. I've seen it happen. As a matter of fact, it kind of happened that way with me while I'm talking about it. But the Holy Spirit was in there. But what God is speaking of, what the word of God is speaking of, is our lifestyle. It's so found throughout the scripture, especially where the apostle Paul, he was such a tremendous leader and a mentor. When he would speak to or write letters or when he would train Timothy and others, You know, follow me as I follow Christ. Imitate me. Imitate the Lord. There's so many, and I have good gobs of scriptures here to lay out before you regarding how God wants us to walk this thing out. But anyway, let me just share this with you. As I continued to research influence, I found another definition that opened my eyes to something much deeper than what I thought influence was. It hit me like, remember when I told you guys the story about when I stumbled up on this sister in the Bible, Shira, that built the three cities? And I was like, oh my God, I never knew this. I never heard this. This really happened. We need to talk about it. We need to put her out there. She did a big thing. She did a powerful thing nobody's talking about. Shira, I keep bringing it up because I don't want you guys to forget her. Because God used her mightily. I think it would help us, especially our sisters. We need some good role models. She's a good one. But we hear about the Abigails and the Esthers and, you know, the woman at the well and all of those. But we didn't hear about Shira. Anyway, when I stumbled up on this, oh, I hope it does to you what it did to me. Let's look at this. Let me find my definition here. Okay. Hallelujah. One day I'm going to really learn how to use that little pad that my husband brought me. I'm just so old school, some of these things. He brought me this nice pad, and Angela was trying to help me to learn how to use it, and I started, and then I went right back to my, I have to write it down. Anybody else like that? I have to write it. I mean, pressing these little buttons, typing it, just, I have to write it. But anyway, listen to this. I wish I could have given this to you guys to put up on the thing, because I think you'd need to see it. And I forget, it was the King James Version, but I forget where this one came from. But it said, influence is literally a flow. It means a flowing in. A flowing into, a flowing on, and it's referring to substances spiritual or too subtle to be visible, like inspiration. The word influence, let me go back over that. It means literally a flowing in, into, on, and referring to substances spiritual or too subtle to be visible, like inspiration. In other words, influence denotes power whose operation is invisible and known only by its effects, or a power whose cause and operation are unseen. Did y'all get that? Let me go over that part one more time. In other words, influence denotes power whose operation is invisible and known only by its effects, or a power whose cause and operation are unseen. What did that tell you? Who does that tell you that is? The Holy Spirit. We say influenced by and influenced with. So formally, the definition is a flowing in. So this influence gotta come in here. It's gotta come into our hearts. Listen to this. This is an example of what it's like. It's like the sun. Like the sun rays, it's like the effect the sun rays have in whitening cloth. Some of y'all won't get that because you didn't have the privilege of growing up in the country. Pastor Greg, you with me? Like the sun rays, whitening cloth. God took me back to my childhood days, and we had a well, and we would draw water from this well. I can remember pulling that chain with that bucket hanging on there, and that water is so cold, and it tastes so good and fresh, and we would wash clothes, and we didn't rinse them one time. We rinsed them twice. See, that's why probably a lot of y'all get all these little rashes and stuff. with these detergents, because these machines only rinse them one time, and then you're trying to conserve water, so sure ain't rinsing them good. So we would rinse them twice, and once we finished rinsing them, we would hang them on the line, and they would stay out there most of the day. The wind would blow and those sheets would just flap, and we would run up under, and grandma would say, get out from under them clothes or you don't get them dirty. So right before dusk, we would go and get the clothes off the line and bring them in. And I promise you, those white sheets and those white shirts would be so white from the sun rays. Not like those sheets that I washed yesterday, Krista. Whiter than those Aunt Shirley puts Clorox and OxiClean on. But as a result, and some of you scientists probably can explain all of what happens there. Then it also said it's like when the sun causes vegetables to turn green. It's an unseen effect in the process as it's happening. It's an unseen effect. But nonetheless, the effect is there, and you see the results of that. So that's what the Holy Spirit does in us, that influence. Ooh. That influence, it happens in here. And what does he require? I'm not taking us out of the picture, because there is something that's required of us. And that, ooh, I had a scripture for this I wanted y'all to see. Because I don't want us to think the Holy Spirit just does all of this and we have no part in it at all. Let's go to, because y'all ain't gonna walk out here and say, she ain't gonna give her one scripture. 1 Peter 1:7. This is just one of them. 1 Peter 1:7. And I'm gonna kind of just condense it here. And it says, 1 Peter 1:7, the one that talks about add to your faith. 1 Peter. Y'all still got those kings on your mind, don't you? Y'all got 1 Peter. Anyway, it says, add to your faith in Christ virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, and to that godliness. And finally, brotherly love, brotherly kindness. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier where Paul said, imitate me. I believe 1 Corinthians 11:1, imitate me just as I also imitate Christ. So what the Lord requires of us is our obedience to him, our desire. He wants us to walk in his way, get his word, walk in his way, live this thing out the way that he says it. He will cause that effect, the influence, the power of godly influence to make a change first in us, and then that power, that influence can touch others. But if we're not walking according to the word of God, it's not gonna work. It will be a negative influence. And it's so sad that in the body of Christ, in our churches, in Christendom, we flaw the image of Christ by our behavior. And again, what affects that, what causes that behavior to go in that direction is either a lack of the knowledge of the Lord, not seeing the bigger picture, not seeing the larger picture. We begin to compromise. We see it, unfortunately, in politics. People will, even Christians, will compromise the standard of Christ in order to get votes, to sway the opinions of their constituents, because their agenda is not God's agenda. There are laws that are put in place that will cause behaviors to change, but it's not causing the hearts to be changed. That's why we need the Holy Spirit to flow in and influence so that it's a godly influence. That's where real change takes place. So I hope this helped you like it did me, because it took, if I can say in a way, it took some of the weight off, because sometimes when we don't see a quick result of our influence, we think nothing is happening. Sometimes we're not patient enough to allow that influence to process, to work, and we cut people off, we write people off, because we don't think anything is happening. So it takes patience. It takes patience. And the Bible says, let patience have a perfect work. It takes consistency. Continuing that honesty, integrity, character. These things are a vital part. If we're not patient with people, we throw up our hands. I've seen people in this church whose lives have been influenced in such a positive way, godly influence. And then as I see their lives by way of the Holy Spirit work and making a difference in other people's lives, it blesses my heart. It blesses our hearts. There was a young lady we put on display a few weeks ago. It was on a Wednesday night, so most of you didn't get a chance to witness this. So we'll just let you in on it anyway. Sister Shalita introduced this young lady. She grew up in a little small town down a little bit south of Atlanta. Came up in a situation where the odds were against her. Faced some serious challenges in life, even as a young girl. Serious challenges. But nonetheless, God's hand was upon her. God's goodness, his grace, and his mercy. There's a pastor and his wife that we sent out from this church to work down in this town, this small town. Many of us wouldn't have gone, because if we grew up in the city of Atlanta, we don't want to go to the country. I don't know why y'all are like that. Country has a lot of good stuff, just in case you didn't know. But they were obedient to the Lord. They went down to the country. And they didn't know the kind of impact that their lives would make on this. This is just one of them. This young lady came to know the Lord. In spite of the challenges and the difficulties and the odds that were against her, God blessed her to get a full ride to Spelman College. Hallelujah. She had an opportunity to travel. Her first flight was out of the country. And I remember telling her, maybe you should go through one of those simulated flights first, just to make sure you're all right. That's Francine. And she said, no, Auntie Francine, I don't want to do that because then I don't want to even risk getting scared. I'm like, you are smart. So she goes on this trip over in Europe, several places, and God was just showing her some things that I think he brought. She'd already been somewhat passionate about working with those that were the human trafficking thing. Came back, rolled her sleeves up still, began to teach in the school system. And even from, and let me just remind you, there were several people, especially some women here in this church, Sister Naja, Sister Shalita, a whole bunch of folk in the certain ministry of the church, dance ministry, that were a part of this allowing God to influence this young lady, because she still, boy, I'm telling you, the devil does not want this young lady to be who God has created her to be. But the devil is a liar. Amen. And she brought such a change. She teaches with such excellence that the school where she's teaching, a lot of teachers wouldn't even want to be there because it's a hard place. It's young ones who have all kinds of home challenges. But I watched her pour. I watched her. It's still present. Pour into these children. Bring them to church. Teach them how to do math really good. And talk and share. She's sharing the gospel with them through her lifestyle. And as a result, she got some little preachers up in there. And these are like elementary kids. But her lifestyle, her allowing the Lord to flow into her, preach at all times, if necessary, use words. And that young lady, give honor to whom it is due. Did she hide? My dear sister, Sherelle Johnson, I know you're gonna get me. I know you're hiding. I know your little works. I know your little works. I know you're hiding. Would you just please stand if you don't mind? Please. This one right here. This one right here. Thank you, Lord, for her life. And I know God's going to go beyond your greatest expectations. The power of godly influence. And I'm about, ooh, gosh, it was so much more I wanted to share. But one last one, and I talked about him first, but I think it's appropriate to finish this. And that, again, is the power of godly influence that I see in my husband, my pastor, Woodrow Walker. As I said earlier, his life has influenced me for Christ above anybody that I know. I watch him, and I continue to watch his perseverance, as I talked about earlier. I talked about him growing up in a small town, and he had to feel somewhat alone, being, it's a very small town, but a young boy preacher, a young boy who accepted the call of God in his life, he was teased, he dealt with some things. Many was trying to put him on display as a young preacher for their own benefits. God saved him from being exploited in that way. God sent him to Atlanta, and I'm really trying to fast forward this. The Lord saved him. But let me back up a little bit. There were influences in his life as a child that were not godly influences, as a young man, as a young preacher. And you guys have heard him say it, so I can say it again. He didn't see very much of examples of how he wanted to, or how he believed this thing called Christianity is supposed to be lived. Bad influences. And he began to get somewhat distraught, thinking that nobody's living this thing. Nobody is. It could have shipwrecked him. But I thank God it did not. Yes, he went through some challenges. God sent him to a church back in St. Louis, Missouri, where this pastor loved God. He was a great leader. My husband was under his leadership for a while. God sent him here. I'm sure not knowing, well, I know not knowing what God was going to do with his life. As you guys were talking about the impact that he made on your lives earlier, I so appreciate that. And there have been so many others. I watch him as he continues, regardless as to who goes with him or who doesn't. He believes that God is not going to allow one church or one big person, so to speak, to do this great thing for God, so to speak. But God has given him a heart for reconciliation and bringing pastors and churches together so that we together can make an impact, not only on this city, yes, but starting here in the city, but to make a difference all over the world. I've watched him. Well, let me just talk to you. I've watched you not cave in when you could have caved in many times out of just discouragement and despair. But there were so many times when it looked like this thing was just going down the drain. Folk weren't coming together. When the churches did come together, it was about their agenda. And you would beg and plead sometime and say, hey, let's get together and pray. And let's seek God to give a strategy for this city. And things just go. But nonetheless, you didn't give up. You haven't given up. And I know you're not going to give up. Because you told me you're not afraid. You're not afraid of failure. You're not afraid. Sometimes I get so scared. I ain't lying. Sometimes I get so scared. And I remember it echoes in my ears when you said, Francine, I'm not afraid of failure. And I go, what? For real? But your standing in spite of it speaks volumes to us. And that, amen. And I believe it influences so many. It influences so many. So there was a whole lot more I thought I was going to say, but I'm going to just stop right here. But I will say, when it's all said and done, as we allow the Lord to work, allow his power to work in us and change us, bring us to a place where what God desires, we desire. And I believe, Pastor, God is going to increase our capacity to even want more. And I'm first in line because I know sometimes I can just lag. But I believe that we're at different levels. But back to what you said to us, the more we see of him, the more we will be like him, want to be like him, and allow him, as he reveals himself, to create in us. if I can say it this way, a greater capacity for him, more of him. And when we say we want more of him, I mean, really, truly, God can't, the Lord can't give us any more of him than what he's given. But what we have to do is position ourselves. We have to position ourselves to surrender more to him and receive. It requires something from us to position ourselves to surrender to him, because he's already given us all of himself. But he's so good. He won't leave us hanging out there. He won't leave us hanging out there. He will cause situations and experiences and these things that happen on our journey that will create, I believe, in us a capacity. It will create that desire, that yearning to want to know him more and want to please him more. And that's what it's really about. And then at the end, we'll hear him, hopefully, we'll hear him say, "Well done." And some of us, I heard somebody say this, I didn't coin it. To some of us, he might say, "Well." But to others of us, he will say, "Well done." Amen. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.